As the pandemic stretches on week after week, month on month, and now year upon year, I find that I am dry. When I need to come up with new ways of doing things, and coming back again and again to the consent conversations of, are you comfortable doing this, and what kind of mask are you wearing? I'm tired, weary, dry. So I come to these stories of Jesus in the Gospel of John, thirsting for meaning, something to sustain me, something to give me nourishment right where I am and invite me on into a deeper sense of being. And Jesus does meet us here. There is a lot going on in this text. And there is a lot going on in our world and in our lives. So we peel back some of the layers and look at how Jesus interacts, who this woman is, and how she talks to Jesus. We bring our dry jars and buckets and ask, what is the living water for this week? Jesus sets out with his disciples from Judea, traveling back once more to Galilee. When we look at a map, this makes sense. Samaria is in between. The direct route would be for Jesus to go through Samaria. But for Jews in Jesus' day, they would have gone around. To go through Samaria was unexpected and dangerous. Jesus crossed an unexpected border. In conversations this week and with the picture on the front of the bulletin, I'm reminded that with your support, 3 years ago, I took a trip to one of our borders. I can hardly see this picture without crying. As I crossed the border from the US to Mexico and back again each day, I felt the tension of the border guards' eyes, their hands on their guns, and the unwelcoming message of razor wire as I walked past. Yet, with my trusty American passport in hand, my discomfort was nothing compared to the fear and loss of control of my new friends as they were loaded into vans or turned away at locked gates and checkpoints. Jesus is acting on the words that he spoke just verses before in John 3:16 and 17 that are memorized the world around. As if Jesus is saying, see, this is how I love the world. I go even to the difficult places and meet with the greatest outsider and social outcast there. Crossing differences of gender, race, life experience, and social placement to meet someone in the chores of their daily life. Jesus calls out to the woman asking for water. The narrator helpfully reminds us that this should make us shift in our seats at its awkwardness. They are alone, a man talking to a woman, a Jew and a Samaritan. They are not each other's equals. Yet back and forth, the woman and Jesus engage in witty banter and theological wrestling. Until the woman asks for this living water, I think I want that water too. Jesus shifts the conversation. Go call your husband and come back. And the woman replies, I have no husband. And then Jesus tells her about her own life. And while some of the commentators seem obsessed with this woman's sexual history, that does not seem to matter to Jesus. Think of his tone being one of knowing and compassion instead of judgment. You have had 5 husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. However she ended up here, either through divorce or death, imagine the amount of pain she has gone through, the trauma and sorrow that she is carrying. 5 relationships over, and all the weight of living on through that. Losing one spouse or relationship can be devastating, and she has lived through that 5 times. She doesn't turn away or try to hide this from Jesus. And Jesus stays in the conversation with her. He sees her, knows her story, and does not turn his back. I hear it again. See, this is how I love the world. This bold woman who keeps coming back with her questions and wrestling to understand who Jesus is and what he is saying. Unlike Nicodemus in last week's passage, she doesn't let it drop. The exchange keeps going on as she, in her gutsy way, keeps digging deeper. The unnamed woman at the well is the first one to whom Jesus reveals his true identity. I am. The first absolute I am in the Gospel of John. Not to a Jewish leader or to the disciples, but to her, a religious, social, and political outsider. This is whom God is for, because God loves the world. Jesus also builds community by crossing racial boundaries and breaks the distinctions between chosen people and rejected people. He extends the mission of the Jewish Messiah to the Samaritan people, who were hated by the Jews for their history of racial mixture and religious syncretism. Thus, Jesus left us with a crucial lesson to be learned. Community can only be built when we are not afraid to overcome old prejudices and are willing to break social conventions that dehumanize us. As the disciples return, the woman heads towards town. And even as she still questions, she starts to proclaim the good news that she has heard. This week, while encountering a few people that I really don't agree with, I've been struck by how Jesus went into this conversation. When I see and hear things that I don't like, don't agree with, or that make me uncomfortable, I want to step back and step away. But especially while working with students, I've had to ask myself, why do I think that their views make them any less likely to connect with God? Even if we disagree, does that lessen the space that we can learn together about our spiritual journey? Jesus saw this woman, her full story, Jesus knew all of the borders that were between the two of them, and yet still leaned into that conversation. And from that, the woman became one of the great evangelists, many in her town believing. Where would Jesus be standing on a border today? The U.S. and Mexico? Ukraine and Russia? North and South Korea? And what wall would he be jumping over? And in that, inviting us into places where we really see and hear the whole story. Not with judgment, but with compassion. You and I are called to bear witness, and we are called to do so even or especially among those who are different from us, with whom we disagree. Yes, even among those who have been enemies. As for how one does that, I can't help but wonder if there is a clue there in that last section where we hear that Jesus stayed for 2 days. Jesus made himself vulnerable by agreeing to be their guest. And in the resulting deepening of relationship, they were able to receive for themselves this marvelous gift of faith. Here we see the layers. This is not only socio-political, but personal. Where is this living water for us? When we are too tired, too grouchy, feeling not good enough. How do we go to the well and have that hard but honest conversation with Jesus? Tell it like it is and ask for what we need. Give me this living water. Jesus says, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. This week, I invite you to consider what borders Jesus may be asking you to cross, and also to bring your thirst to the well that is Jesus, to show up honestly before God and ask that your parched places be nourished.